Canto 11, Chapter 10. The soul free, the soul bound. The Supreme Lord said, "A soul free from desire who accepts my shelter should, conscientiously performing the personal duties I spoke about, practice the Varnashrama system of behaving oneself in society. A purified soul should understand that all endeavors of embodied souls who, focused on sense gratification, take the material qualities for true, are doomed to fail. Just as the sensual matters seen by the meditator in the realm of sleep or in his fantasy do not help him because of their great variety, also the intelligence is ineffectual when being led by the senses directed at a diversity of outer appearances. Devoted to me, one gives up one's active material life and engages in a contemplative life. When one is fully absorbed in self-inquiry, one is no longer bound to the injunctions for performing material labor, karma. Devoted to me, one should at all times respect the vow of yoga and its regulated practice as good as one can, as also respect a guru who knows my form and is peaceful under my control. Humble, without false pride and jealousy, be industrious in devotion, non-possessive, fixed in friendship, without haste, interested in inquiring, and free from spite and idle talk. Remaining neutral, with an equal vision towards one's wife, children, home, land, relatives and bank account and such, one should recognize one's self-interest in that of others. The soul is the self-enlightened seer, different from the gross and subtle body, just as fire, emitting light as it burns, differs from the firewood. Just like the different qualities of being dormant, manifest, being large or small, are there of the fire, there are also the qualities of the material body the higher self accepts that has entered it. This body, which was formed by the basic qualities of nature expanding from the original person, ties the living entity to a material existence from which it breaks away by the knowledge of the soul. One should, therefore, by cultivating knowledge, get in touch with the pure, transcendental, supreme soul situated within oneself and gradually give up one's minding about the material affair. The Acharya can be compared to the lower part of a pile of kindling wood, the disciple to the top part, and the instructions to the kindling stick used in between, while the knowledge that brings happiness is there like the fire that brings light. This purest intelligence of the souls of experience, the Acharyas, drives away the illusion originating from the gunas. Thereupon, that intelligence, which rose because of those modes, finds peace itself, the way a fire burns up when it runs out of fuel. For the controllers and enjoyers of karma, fruitful labor, there is, of course, the eternal duality of happiness and grief, time and place, to have and to be. When you take all that is matter for eternal and complete, your intelligence is ruled by all the different forms and changes belonging to it. All living beings thinking thus, O Uddhava, time and again will find themselves being born, falling ill and dying, and so on. After all, being united with a form, one is bound to the conditioning limbs of time, of sun and moon, day and night, etc. In this, one can clearly see the lack of independence of the karmic controller, as also the happiness and unhappiness of such an enjoyer. What purpose is served by someone that helpless? Among the embodied beings, the fool is sometimes unhappy, and even the sage is neither always happy. Wishing to be happy always is a useless endeavor, and in fact something most egotistical. Even if one manages to achieve happiness and escape distress, one still has no direct knowledge of the yoga process by which death loses its power. What guarantee of material happiness would a material object or lust be able to provide the person? With death never pleasing close at hand, such a thing gives no satisfaction, like with a person condemned who is led to his place of execution. What we heard about heaven, as also what we know from our own experience on earth, is spoiled by rivalry, fault-finding, lapse and decay. Just like with agriculture, where many obstacles are in the way of a happy result, it is useless to desire for perfect material happiness. When one manages to perfectly practice one's righteousness, dharma, without being troubled by hindrances, even the status one thus acquires will not last forever. Please listen therefore to the following. On earth, having worshipped the gods with sacrifices, the performer goes to the heavenly worlds, where he may enjoy, like a god, the celestial pleasures he achieved. Shining in the temple, because of his accumulated merit, he enjoys being surrounded by goddesses wearing charming clothes, while he, as he leaves this earth, is glorified with songs by the singers of heaven. Surrounded by the sounds of bells, he fares to his desire with heavenly women, but while relaxing comfortably in the pleasure gardens of the gods, he in his delight has no awareness of his downfall. After for long, having enjoyed the heavens until his pious credits were used up, having exhausted his merits, he against his will falls down from heaven, not properly fixed, being forced from his course by time. When he, due to his material involvement, is engaged in actions against the Dharma, or, not having conquered his senses, lives wantonly as a miserable, greedy philanderer, is of violence against other living beings, kills animals against the rules and worships hordes of ghosts and spirits, a living being will, once he passed away, thereupon helplessly land in the deepest darkness of the hellish worlds. He will, because of what he did, again have to accept a material body to perform therewith activities that again cause him great grief in the future. What happiness would someone find being sworn to activities that invariably lead to death? In all the worlds, among all their leaders, there exists fear of me in the form of time. The individual souls living as long as a kalpa fear me, and even the one supreme, Brahma, who lives for two parardas, fears me. The material senses, stimulated by the qualities of nature, give rise to activities, and the individual soul, the jiva, who is fully engaged by the materially oriented senses and the gunas, undergoes the various karmic consequences. As long as there is the differentiation of the modes of nature, there will be the different forms of existence of the soul, and as long as there are these different states of the soul, there will be karmic dependence. As long as one is not free from this dependence, there will be fear for the Lord and controller who is the time. They, then, who enjoy this karmic bond will become bewildered and always be full of sorrow. With the given reciprocal action or the operation of the basic qualities of nature, one calls me variously the time, the soul, the Vedic knowledge, the world, the original nature or nature at large, as also the Dharma. Sri Uddhava said, even though the one embodied is present in the midst of the natural modes, he is not necessarily bound to what incessantly operates upon him from the material body like happiness and distress. In other words, how can it happen that someone, as a free soul, is caught in the grip of those basic qualities, O Almighty One? How is he situated? How does he enjoy, or by what symptoms can he be known? What would he eat, or how would he evacuate, lie down, or sit? Please explain to me what I ask you, O Infallible One, O best answerer of questions. This, at the same time being eternally bound and being eternally liberated, is something confusing me.